This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening. Welcome to Parsha Shei Pashas Pinchas. We have finally caught up with Eretz Yisrael, so we're all on the same page, Baruch Hashem. We're running late because of the Halacha Shei, but let's see how much we can get through. Two, maybe three ideas to share. The Parsha of Pinchas begins, of course, not with the action and the Maisa that happened, because that was at the end of last week's Sedra. And then we wait a week, and in this week's Parsha is given the Brish Shalom. So why there is that gap, we dealt with in previous Parsha Shi'urim. But I want to focus on a slightly different angle. Take a look at the first box. If you're listening online, please email me at jdogolker@gmail.com. The beginning is at the end of Parsha's Balak. The Pasuk says, Vayeshiv Yisrael Bashitim, Vayochel Om Lizne says El Bnei Smoyav. They started, the Bnei Smoyav was seducing them. Vayar Pinchas Ben Loz Ben Aaron HaKoyen, Vayokom Etecho Eidu Vayikach Rimech Biyod, they took the spear, Vayitker Shnehem, okay, and they stopped. He stopped the plague, and he killed Cosby and Zimri, and the Magefa, the plague, stopped. Says Rashi, Vayar Pinchas. What did he see? Ra'a Maisa v'nizka halacha. He saw this act where the Nossi of Shevet Shimon was living with this Midianite girl. V'nizka halacha, and he remembered the halacha. Omelei l'Moshe mekubal mimcha. We received from you, Moshe Rabbeinu, the halacha, haboyel aromis kanoim poiginboy, that if a person lives with an aromis, with a non-Jewish woman, kanoim poiginboy, those who are zealous can attack and can kill the person. So Amalai, Moshe Rabbeinu responded, karyono de'garata iuli havan parvanka, that the person who carries the letter, he should be the bearer of the news. In other words, you came along, remind me of this halacha, you do it. Miyad vayikach remach remeach biyado, and that's the continuation of the pasuk, and that's the end of last week's sedra. Begins Parshas Pinchas vaydabashem mishleimer Pinchas ben Eloz ben Aaron Hakoyen heishves chamosim al bnei Yisrael, etc. Lochein emer hini noisin es brusi shalom. Fine. Now, a question I came across this year was this: didn't Moshe Rabbeinu understand that it was necessary to kill Zimri? He looked around and he saw people were dying. This terrible act, this blatant act was happening. And as a result of that, there was a terrible magefa. So it doesn't need rocket science. Maybe he forgot the nuance, the detail of the halacha. But he could have understood from the circumstances that the magefa, the plague, was as a result of this act. So wouldn't he have intuited to understand that you have to kill Zimri to stop the plague? Which is a very interesting question. So I saw in Rabbi Yaakov ben de Sefer, he quotes someone called Rablai Baron, from who learnt in the Mir, I think in Baranovich in pre-war, that one many years ago he came and he gave a drosh in Tervadas, and he asked this question. And he said a very interesting answer, which I think appears later in the parasha. Logic may have dictated that Zimri must be stopped to end the plague, but you have to act according to halacha. You can't just act on your own emotions. Without halacha, there is no place for action. As he says over here, emotion and passion have a place, but only within the framework of halacha. If you are guided by your own emotions, your own passions, that's bad news. A Jew has to be guided by halacha. And that we see later in the parasha. It's in the same parak, in parak Chof Hei. The pasuk says, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe le'emor, Tzoreres ha-midyonim ve-hikisom oisom. You cause distress to the midyonim. Ki tzorim heim lochem al dvar par, because they cause you distress. Now the Medrash Tanchuma elaborates on this. Says the Medrash, Tzoreres ha-midyonim. Lama? Ki tzorim heim lochem. Because they caused you to try, they sent out their daughters to try and cause you to do an Aveira. Mikan omru chazal. Imbo lahargecho hashkem lahargei. If someone tries to kill you, there is a halacha that you can preempt that, you can stop it. The din of roidef. Rabbi Shimon Omer, minayin ata omer shekol hamachat yes chaveiroi, kosher min ahargo. How do you know that someone who causes his friend to do an aveira, hamachat yes chaveiroi, is worse than someone who kills him? Why? Shehahargo boilem azeh yesh to chelik leilem abo. That if a person, Rachman Islam, kills another person, so that person will have olam haba. In other words, the person who was killed, he's lost his life in this world, but he'll go to the eternal world of Olam Haba. V'hamachatiyah, but if a person is caused to do an aveira, hargei b'olam hazeh u'olam haba, he's causing him to be killed in this world and in the world to come. Now, continuing on that theme, the Medrash says, shtei umos kidmu es Yisrael b'chorev, v'shtayim ba'aveira. There were two nations that attacked the Jewish people physically with a sword, and there were two who attacked the Jewish people ba'aveira, by causing them to do aveira. Mitzrayim ve'edomim kidmu b'cherev. Mitzrayim and Edom attacked Klal Yisrael physically with swords. V'shtayim ba'aveira, who were they? Moav v'amoy. Al elu shekidmu son b'cherev, those who came with swords, ne'ma lo'yse so'ev edomi, don't detest the Edomite, lo'yse so'ev Mitzrayim, nor the Mitzri. Al elu shekidmu son ba'aveira, lahachdes Yisrael, but those who caused Klal Yisrael to do aveiras, about them, Ne'emar, it is said, Lo Yovei Amonim Avi B'Kal Hashem, Gam Dor Asiri. That's the famous halacha, that a person from Moav and Amon is not allowed to join the Jewish people, so they're treated much more strictly. Continues the Medrash, Tzuraris HaMidjonim Mahu, Afa Pisha Kosafti. With regard to Midjon, even though I've said, Ki Sikra Vel'ir V'Karos Vel'er L'Sholem, generally speaking, you should initiate peace overtures, you should go out and try and make peace, Le'elu lo sasu kein, but to Midjan don't. Lo sidra shleimam v'tovosam kol yimecha lo'ilam. Pasuk says in Devarim Chaf Gimel, do not seek out their welfare forever. Mi shebo imohim b'midas rachamim, because if you do, and you try and express rachmonas, mercy to them, l'sof bo lidei bizoyin u'milchemes v'tzaras. It's going to come back to bite you. It will come back with milchama, with disgrace, and with trouble. Now he brings an amazing raya. The Medrash says, "Ve'ezeh zeh David." This refers to the incident, an incident with David HaMelech and Shmuel Beis Perek Yud. "Va'yomer David esa chesed im Chanoin ben Nachash." The Medrash says, the Pasuk in Novi says that the David HaMelech once sent a delegation of condolences when Nachash, the king of Ammon, died, and he sent a whole delegation. "Omle Hakadosh Baruch Hu atza taver al divrei al dvarai. You've violated my word." I've said in the Torah, you're not allowed to seek out their good. You can't make overtures of peace with them. Why are you sending a delegation to the king of Ammon when he died to his son? Don't be frumer than you need to be. Don't be a tzaddik harbe because I've told you not to. Don't go over and above what the Torah says. The Torah says don't seek out their benefit. And why are you being sort of extending an olive leaf to them? Indeed, that's exactly what happens. What happened was the delegation were treated very brutally, as the Pasuk in Novi, as the Pasukim there describe. Again, a very good example that we have to be guided by halacha. Our own emotions, our own feelings may feel that it's appropriate to send a delegation, to extend mercy, to seek them out, to send condolences, but if the pasuk says you don't, you don't. We have to be guided by halacha. Let me tell you a story, a famous story about Rav Moshe, which I think brings out this point better than I can articulate. Rav Moshe Feinstein was a rav in Russia in a place called Luban. He came to America in the mid to late 1936, I think, around then. In about 1930, he was a young Gadol Batera, and he had a very difficult shaila. There was an old man who was a staunch communist, who was a moiser, who caused that community terrible distress. He would go to the Stalinist government, and he would cause them and be moiser and inform on them, and it got them into terrible trouble. Shortly before this fellow died, he called the head of the Chevra Kedisha and he said that he regrets what he did. He's caused the community terrible distress. And as a kapara for him, he wants to be buried not in the normal way, lying, you know, face lying on your back in a horizontal position, but he wants to be buried like a dog, on all fours like a dog, and that would be a kapara for him. And he died a short while later. So the head of the Chevra Kedisha came to the Rav in town, Moshe Feinstein, and said, what do I do? On one hand, halacha says this is how you bury the person, lying on his back. On the other hand, this is what the person requests. This is what he admits for the kind of Rameis, and he wants it as a kapara, and I understand why he's saying it. So Moshe looked into the shayla and said, you have to bury him according to halacha. End of story. A while later, a delegation came from the government, and it transpired that this fellow had written to the communist government, had told them that they hate him because he's a communist, and they hate him so much that they're going to bury him like a dog. Dig up my body, and you'll see that. They came to the cemetery, they dug up the body, and they saw it wasn't true. So they were spared from who knows what. I mean, you see the riches of this fellow. Even in his death, he was trying to get the Jewish people into trouble. But Ramesha, he saved the Kehillah because of this, because he was guided by Halacha. If Halacha says this is how you got to be buried, this is how you got to be buried. And there weren't, it wasn't sufficient cause to deviate from Halacha. So you see that the opening of the Parsha and the case of Tzores HaMidyanim, they bring out this point, we have to be guided by Halacha. Emotions, passions are important, but they can't distort what the actual course of action needs to be. Okay, let's press on. Now, later in the Parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu is told the terrible news that he is not going to go to Eretz Yisrael, and his immediate reaction is very, very impressive. Vaydaber Moshe, take a look at the top of the next page. Vaydaber Moshe Hashem lema yifked Hashem lekeh aruches lechol baso ish al ha'edah. His response is, we need a new leader. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, appoint someone who is going to lead this community. Says Rashi, in praise of Moshe Rabbeinu, lo yediyah shvachon shel tzadikim. This shows us the tremendous praise of great people. Shekashniftarim in ha'olam, when they take leave of this world, manichin tzarkon, they put aside their own concerns, for oiskin b'tzorchei tzibur, and their concern is that of the tzibur. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu did. He's told he's not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. Anybody else, would be devastated by that personal bad news. But he puts that aside and said, okay, that's the ruling. What's going to be with Klal Yisrael? We need to appoint a new leader. Now, that's okay. The difficulty is, Rashi in the next pasuk seems to go, undoes all the good work, as it were. Because the next pasuk, remember, we have the parsha of Bnei Slavchot. Bnei Slavchot, the daughters of Slavchot, they want their share in Eretz Yisrael. Says Rashi on the next pasuk, Kiven she'shama Moshe she'omel ha'makom ten nachres Slavchot le'bnei Sof. Once Moshe Rabbeinu is told that the daughters of Slavchot, who have no brothers and they want to play a portion, their father's portion in Eretz Yisrael, and they win, they get their portion. Omar, Moshe Rabbeinu said, I see that they were successful. Higia shah she'es b'tzorchi she'yishu bonayes kedulasi. That now I'm going to ask for my request that my children should be Yoresh, my Gedulah, they should inherit my position, my greatness. Omen HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Loi Kach also the Machshava Lefona. That's not the plan. Kedai Hu Yeshua, little Schar, Shimusha, Shiloi Mosh, Mitoicha Ehel. I've got other plans. It's not your children, Moshe Rabbeinu, who are going to take over, but rather Yeshua. He hasn't left the tent. He is the worthy successor to lead Klal Yisrael. It seems to be a blatant contradiction in Rashi. The pasuk Tes Vav says, "Lo'di shvachon shel tzadikin, manichin tzarkon ve'isim tzarchei tzibur." Total selflessness. And in the next pasuk, Rashi is saying that Moshe Rabbeinu a bit of nepotism. He wants to ask for a job for the boys, for his own sons, that they should take over his position, which is the opposite of manichin tzarkon. He's making a personal request. Yes, but I've now seen that the daughters of Slavchot have been successful in their claim. I would like my children to be successful as it were in their claim that they can take over my Gedulah, they should inherit my position. It seems to be that, like I say, that the praise for Moshe Rabbeinu is undone in the next Rashi, where he seems to be focusing on his own needs and not those of Klal Yisrael. So that's a kasha. That's, I think, a well-known kasha. I've came across two answers. I may have said this once in a parasha shir years ago, but I want to add a hosafa. The first answer is given by Rabbeinu Hillel, who writes a pirush on the Sifri, which is the source of Rashi. And I alluded to this earlier. Rabbeinu Hillel says this, etc., etc. He quotes this, the Rashi, which is quoting the Sifri. Says Rabbeinu Hillel, Shari Moshe tchilas diburov lasus betzorcha tzibur v'lahamid loim parna shenem ayivkoit. You can tell a lot by the initial reaction of a person, by the instinctive response. So he was told the news is not going to Eretz Yisrael. What's his instinctive response? You know, like, Vos vet zayin klal Yisrael, who's going to lead the Jewish people? That's his instinctive response. Once, afterwards, then he starts thinking about his own situation, what's going to be with my children, maybe they should, etc., etc. But his instinctive response is very indicative of who he is. And therefore, that's what Chazal is saying, manichim tzorka. That's the first answer. The second answer, I forget where I've seen this, but I saw a very interesting answer. There is a concept in law called a test case. Sometimes you hear about a case where you have a massive company, let's say a huge grocery store, a huge superstore, Tesco, Sainsbury's, Walmart, some of these huge places, and there's a legal battle going on between them and one John Smith. Yeah, John Doe, one individual. For how much? For £73.43. You think, what's going on here? The legal costs are going to be 1,000 times that. Why are they taking this guy to court? The answer is because they want to set a precedent. They want to have a test case where they beat this guy in court, and that will prevent 5 million other John Smiths, John Does from issuing proceedings against Tesco or whoever it is. So it's a precedent. It's a test case. This is a test case. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that his children were not worthy of succeeding him. He knew that. But he wanted to put on record that success in life is not because of nepotism, is not because of who your father was, it's because of your hard work. So he wants to put on record in the Torah that we lay in it every year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, could my children inherit my position? He knew the answer would be no, but we've got it on record, no. Hashem says no. And now we have for all time a record that it's hard work, it's dedication, it's your own efforts that's going to achieve success. You're not going to get the position because your daddy was this, your father, your uncle was this, your grandfather was that, whatever it may be. And in a way, it supports the first Rashi. In the first Rashi, it's manichin tzorchim v'eichin b'tzorchi tzibur. The second Rashi is doing exactly the same. He's putting aside his own concerns, and again, he's focusing on Klal Yisrael to establish a precedent for all time that success comes from your own hard work and dedication, and not from yichus and nepotism and other things. So I think a very interesting and very beautiful idea. I thought of this idea a few days ago. We had the zuchus of hosting a very chashuv rav in Eretz Yisrael. His name is Avram Kamenetsky. As his name suggests, he's a grandson of the great Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, and he's a son of Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, one of the Gedolim in America, Shavu Fush Lema. And so he came from Chasna, and we had the privilege of him staying in our house. So, you know, making small talk with these great people is just fascinating. So I said to him, did you know your Zayda? You know, Rabbi Yaakov died in the mid-1980s. This man is, he's of the age, he knew him. And I said, were you close with him? So we were speaking about it, and he was close to me. He said, I lived with my grandfather for a year. For a whole year, I lived in his house before the mitzvah. I was a young boy, studying in Tervadas, where Rabbi Yaakov was a Rosh Yeshiva. So he said, let me tell you something interesting. He said, what was I doing in his house for a year? He says, because you should have been in the dorms. He said, there was a strict rule in Tervadas. You were not allowed to sleep in the dorms until you were bar mitzvah. My name is Kamenetsky. My Zayda is the Rosh Yeshiva. My Zayda would not hear of it. We're not changing the rules just because you're the grandson of the Rosh Yeshiva. What are we going to do? Okay, so you come live with me. So there's a nice pshara. So you go live with your grandfather, Rabbi Yaakov. But I think that's exactly the point. That's what we made to think of this idea, this Tvatura, that Moshe Rabbeinu set that precedent. He set the precedent that if you want to succeed in something, nepotism and yichus and things like that is not really going to help you. And therefore, he put a precedent out there for all time to put on record that greatness comes not from yichus or from anything else, but from a person's own hard work and dedication. I think it's a truvat, I think it's an emistic idea, and it certainly can explain this sort of striking dissonance between these two rushes.
There are some positions that are inherited, like the kahuna.
Okay, true, 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 true. But True, but I'm talking about leadership and in terms of Rabbonus, in terms of being Rosh Shiva, that sort of thing, leadership. But you're right, it's a Kohen Gadol, that's because your father's a Kohen, that's a different role. And, you know, a person is Jewish because his mother's Jewish. That's but here we're talking in terms of leadership, which has to be earned. Yeah. Okay, so I think we'll leave it there. Good, okay.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.